And welcome back to Green Left Radio. You're listening to 3CR 855 AM. And with us, joining us in the studio today, is Sue Bull. Now, Sue is a long time. Hello, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And Sue is a, very long time activist and socialist, and unionist, staunch unionist, and a member of Socialist Alliance. And Sue is going to talk to us today a bit about the upcoming seminar, The Relevance of Marxism Today, which will be held on the 18th of October at the Maritime Union of Australia. Good morning, Sue.
Hi.
so would you like to tell us a bit about, like, why on earth should people give up their Saturday and come to a seminar about the relevance of Marxism today?
Well, we've been planning this for a while, but what we thought we'd do is have a one-day conference, if you like, looking at different aspects of Marxism, really not only as an educational, but to get people interacting with some of the ideas, which are all still very relevant today. Marxism, of course, is a 19th century political philosophy that is often sort of seen more today as something that was sort of theoretical, relevant 150-odd years ago, studied at universities today still, but, you know, largely a theoretical idea. But there are many, many people around the world who say, no, it's not just a 19th century theory. It actually has relevance because it's very scientific in its orientation. And even though some of the ideas that Marx and his comrade Engels put forward, some of the science that they used then has actually been developed much more fully today, and there's lots of information that has been added. But the basis of Marxism is still very relevant, because what they did, what the two of them were able to do, is use many, many scientific studies of the day and develop an approach which we call historical materialism. And most scientists today use something similar to the method that these two men were putting forward at the time and people still look at right now. So it's this idea that human beings live in a real world, they interact in their environment, and there's nothing religious or mystical about it, but our human societies change due to the interaction with that environment. And that then gives us a way of looking at the world to see if we can not only operate within it, but change it. And at a time like today, when there's so much happening, and a lot of it really is moving in a backward direction, this sort of helps many, many people see ways that they can pull together and change the nature of the world that we live in. So most Marxists are optimists, and we figure that we should be talking about these things right now.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, Sue. Chloe here.
Hi, Chloe.
Happy to give up my Saturday for what sounds like an excellent seminar, and thank you for organising it. The idea that the working class created by the capitalist system has the potential to liberate itself is really the core idea of Marxism, and we are all Marxists here. We're all going to be there. But can you tell us about some of the workshops or just the running of the day, what people can expect?
Okay. That was one of the things I actually forgot to mention, Chloe, which you're absolutely right about. Where we cite ourselves is in as working class people, and really so much of what we look at is how working class people can change the world, because we are the 99%. So that's going to be one of the topics that we look at during the day. We're going to pose this question: so why is the working class revolutionary? How does it? Why do we say that it's possible that people who have really nothing can actually change the world for the better. So we are going to tackle that question. And we're also going to look at the way we can understand war, climate change and immigration. You know, some of the key questions now, the Palestine war, the fact that we are facing ecological ecocide, if you like, and indeed the nature of the anti-racism debates that we're seeing at the moment. And we're going to look at how capitalism actually creates those things. Because the critical thing about Marx is that his study was about capitalism. And it was he and Engels and all the people that supported them at the time saw capitalism as the real problem because it is profit-driven and it's destructive. So we're going to look at how that destructive nature creates war, climate change, etc., but also how we as working-class people can band together to change that. Like, and not just from an Australian point of view, but from an international point of view. So we're going to look at that. We're also going to look at how capitalism uses sexism and racism to try and divide working class people. So one of the things that we see today is terrible divisions between people where we fight amongst ourselves rather than against the 1% that own everything. So we want to start looking at, well, how did that come about? And why are some of those ideas so strong, even in a very rich country like Australia, which keeps us isolated from our neighbours and our communities rather than united within it? And I suppose there's two other critical things we're going to look at too. One is, what's the role of Lenin? So very often when people talk about Marxism, they go, oh, yeah, well, look, I can sort of see how what geniuses Marx and Engels were because, you know, they're using all the ideas of their time and putting it together. But, you know, Lenin, he's just, you know, the leader of a failed revolution. Well, we don't see him that way at all. We actually believe that Lenin was the one that first got together this idea or actually put forward ideas that led to a successful revolution and was part of a movement that was actually to win a successful revolution, even if only for a brief time. And his greatest contribution was that he began to write and experience how you win leadership of huge numbers of people as they move towards social change. How do you help build a disciplined group of people that help to steer that process in the right direction rather than in a destructive direction? And that will be where we also end our day when we look at, can spontaneous uprisings lead to socialist revolution? Because we've seen so many uprisings around the world, even as we speak now, but so many of those uprisings lead to not a positive outcome, but often a negative outcome. So what's the nature of that? How do we change that framework? How do we change that scenario? So, yes, that's where we're going to finish our discussion on Saturday. Oh, it's Saturday the 12th. Oh, which day is it? Saturday the 19th.
18th.
Oh, we got there. Right.
That's all right. Saturday, still the 18th. Don't come on the wrong day, Sue.
But, yes, on Saturday the 18th, that's where we'll lead it. But I think we're going to be able to come together with a whole lot of ideas about ways that we can bring about positive social change rather than going in a direction which could lead to annihilation.
Sue, how are you going? It's Zane. Good to have you back. Hi, in the hood. One of the famous quotes from the bearded German gentleman was, as schools of war, the unions are unexcelled. Now, you're a long-term CFMEU activist and worked there for many years at the training unit. And I just was hoping you could comment on that in two ways. What do you think Marx was talking about when he says, as schools of war, the unions are unexcelled? Because I think this really plays into this idea that You can't just have spontaneous protests. If you want durable change and if you really want to liberate the working class from the harmful oppression of capitalism, you got to get really organized. And related to this, can you also comment on the ebb and flow of the union movement? There's been times like now where the union movement's a bit small, but what we've seen is as workers get confident, it's possible to rebuild a fighting union movement and rebuild fighting workers' parties and grow them to be quite large and powerful in a relatively short period of time.
Oh. Well, Zane, we've actually got a session on this.
You'll be pleased to know.
Jackie Chris is one of our wonderful nurses activists. I don't know if you realise, but the nurses are now the biggest union in Australia.
Wow.
But we are going to be looking at that because we're going to look at, okay, well, why do Marx and Engels put so much emphasis on the working class, you know, as the which, of course, today we often refer to as the 99%. Why do they say that these people who own no property, who own nothing beyond their labour power, which they sell in the workplace, how can they actually lead a successful revolution? And one of the ways that we attempt to train, if you like, or steal people in the capacity to do that is through unions. So from the time of Marx and Engels through Lenin until today, working class people have very often been part of the union movement. And of course, being in a union can teach you so many things. Unions, by the way, are not, of course, revolutionary in their projection, but they actually can help working class people come together, unify, and in the end, understand the nature of fighting together. So that's one of the things that unions can actually impart to their members. Sadly, at the moment, of course, in the Australian situation, there's only about 8% of us in unions, and we're actually experiencing a lot of defeats because the other side of unions in the Australian context and pretty much worldwide, they're very often linked to social democratic parties like the Australian Labor Party, who actually use the unions as shock troops to just keep getting elected. But they see them as a recruiting base to keep themselves, the other bourgeois government party, in power. So there's a constant struggle within unions for workers on the one hand to remain independent and fight for their own best interests, and bureaucrats who want the unions to just become, a base for them to get re-elected into parliament very often. And in fact, you've probably all seen it, but so many union leaders are just slowly, that their next career jump is from being head of the union into parliament, the old bumping into parliament stuff. Of course, as a CFMEU activist, it's really hard for us at the moment because our union's sitting in administration, which is very much like an experience of deregistration, which construction workers have had experience before. And Jackie will talk about these sort of things because, sadly for us at the moment in Australia, the loss of the CFMEU as a leader, as a militant leader within the union movement, has meant that we're a bit rudderless in terms of helping working class people fight back against the constant attacks on their safety, on their working conditions, and, of course, on their pay. So, we are going to talk about those contradictions, and we are going to talk about whether we can overcome them. You know, what's the role of independent leaderships like the recent victory that many comrades experienced within the CPSU, which is now an independent union, independent from the Labor Party under Giselle Hanna and her group. You know, can those sort of things be successful, and can they be the seeds of fighting back in a more generalised way?
Yeah.
Because if we don't learn to fight back, we will find that we can't pull working class people together.
Yeah, well, we hope that's whet people's appetite to show up on Saturday the 18th October from 9 a.m. till 5. And thanks, Sue, for joining us on the show. And we're all looking forward to discussing the relevance of Marxism in building socialist politics today. The address again is Maritime Union of Australia on Ireland Street in West Melbourne. It's easy to get to by train or walking there from the city even. And you can find more details at greenleft.org.au/events. Thanks, Sue.
Thanks, Sue.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.